Welcome to the author commentary for Star Wars, From a Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back. Here we go behind the scenes with contributors to discuss the creative process behind their stories. A word of caution, these conversations may contain some story spoilers. I'm Tom Holler, one of the Delray editors who worked on this project. Right now, I'm talking to Amy Ratcliffe, author of a story called Heroes of the Rebellion. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Well, thank you for having me. It's exciting to get to talk about this story and more about this project that I'm just thrilled to be a part of.
Yes, which I actually should, readers may not know this, but I didn't know this, but this is actually your kind of first piece of fiction in quite a long time. And I actually didn't know that until kind of after the story was done. You were like, yeah, by the way, this is my first piece of fiction in a long time.
Should I have mentioned that before?
To be honest, you know, it actually would have made me feel a little more worried about like, oh, I have to make sure then that I do a good job for Amy. So actually, it was great that you didn't tell us until after it was over, but the story turned out great.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You helped me so much throughout this process. So wouldn't have been able to do without you, Tom.
I think he would have got there. I think he would have got there. But speaking of process, let's actually start at the beginning and just tell me like how you went about figuring out where you wanted to set the story and the relative setup. You know, you're like, okay, you end up picking a story that's set during the Hoth scene writ large, leading up to the battle and the escape, and a character who is kind of involved in all that. What kind of made you land there and want to take the story in the direction that it goes with Corwee?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as you mentioned, I wrote an original character. Her name is Corwee. And as you and I kind of talked about, Tom, with The Empire Strikes Back, there's challenges in that there are times when there are a lot of people, pretty much just the Rebel base and Cloud City. And then otherwise it's, you know, the trio and Yoda, and does not always leave a lot of room to, you got to find where you can slide in. So being that two of my favorite things in Star Wars are anything to do with the Rebellion, have a Rebel Alliance tattoo, I fully support all things Rebel Alliance and Rebellion and creatures. I knew I wanted to go in one of those two areas. So it was kind of more where I could feel comfortable, like zeroing in and finding a story. And, you know, Hoth, and it's funny because of course, after getting involved in this, I went back and rewatch specifically the Hoth scene about a million times, especially as my character interacts with some established characters. So I wanted to very carefully map out where she could fit in and dance around the scenes that exist. And that scene's not super long. They don't like, in my head, of course, like I love Hoth. I love Tauntauns. It's such an exciting battle that I'm like, this is like half the movie. It is not even close.
No, and even half of that, as you talked about, even half of the Hoth scene, we're like in the snow with Luke. We're not even at the base, or with Han trying to find Luke.
Right. So, yeah, finding a place to slide in there with like the escape, like sounded the most exciting.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a compelling thing because we actually don't know anything about who is on that first ship. You know, who is on that first ship that heads out during the escape and is like, hey, all of you get on the first transport. We think this is going to work. And, you know, we'll fire the ion cannon behind you. And all of the big characters, you would actually think, oh, wouldn't you put all like the most important characters on that ship? Cause you got to get them out. But as we see, cause Han, Luke, Leia, everybody, Wedge, all of them are still around during the battle. We don't know who's on that ship, but it was interesting to be able to point ourselves that way. And it was a good way to, as you said, find a good place for Corwee to exist within this scene. But you mentioned, you know, you wrote an original character and she ends up interacting with each of the big three, Han, Leia, and like sort of Luke, though obviously she's, you know, that's part of her challenge here is that she's trying to get to Luke. Was it like intimidating or challenging to kind of write for all three of those iconic characters and like put your original character literally on the page and in conversation with them?
It's a super fun thing I did to myself there because I was like, oh, if I write an original character, I don't have to try to like match dialogue of all these characters I love and people who know. Then I'm like, oh, but now I'm going to have her interact with them and they're probably going to talk. So oops. So it was intimidating. And with Leia, like, you know, and of course you watch the films a million times, you read the books and comics. So you feel like you have an idea of personality. And with that moment specifically with Leia. She's found out that Luke is goodness knows where. He's missing. It's pretty stressful on top of, you know, fighting a war against an evil empire that's trying to destroy the galaxy. So I found my way in with her a little easier. And Han, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but my husband is really good at sarcastic Han language. So he actually helped me out a lot. Thankfully, I don't hear a lot of that Han voice in real life because that wouldn't go well. But I was surprised at how quickly he was just like, well, yeah, Han would say something like this. I'm like, he totally would. He would just be really dismissive and annoyed. And also, he's worried about his buddy Luke, too.
But he can't tell anybody that.
Of course not.
Yeah. See, it sounds like your husband, he's using the superpower for good. He's using the power for good here. This is great.
Thank goodness.
The dialogue that you have for Han, the way he just calls her, I think, sweetheart or sister, like it's so on point. It was like, oh, talk to Chewie. Chewie, answer all your questions. It is 100% the dialogue that Han would have in a scene like that.
That warms my heart. It was really fun. I'm like, I just did that.
So true or false, Han Solo would indeed be the most infuriating person in Star Wars to have to interview.
1,000% true. Could you imagine too if they had publicists and somebody had to try to be Han's publicist, just the constant face palming that publicists would do because Han is being stubborn, rude, sarcastic. Pick a thing you don't want in an interview.
Not telling anyone. I think everything involving any kind of publicist for Han would just involve like a scene with Han Solo where he does something that would make the publicist mad. And then the next scene is the publicist like showing up 10 minutes later being like, where is Han? I heard he did something bad. And just never
just always on call prepared for that message.
But, you know, Han tries to pull a little trick on Quarry by like, hey, talk to Chewie. Chewie will answer all your questions. But you know, I kind of sneaky feel like Chewie might be one of the better interviews in all of Star Wars. As long as you can get that translation, kind of feel like Chewie would be a good character to interview and would be pretty kind of forthcoming.
I actually think he'd be happy. Like, I think he believes in the fight, you know, certainly at that point more than maybe Han does, and certainly has had adventures as well and done a lot of things for the Rebellion. And I think he would make a great person to speak about, a great being to speak with. About the current affairs in the galaxy. I mean, look what the Wookiees have been through. My goodness.
Yeah.
So I agree.
Yeah. So, you know, Han thinks he's getting one over on Corwe, but ultimately may actually give her the best story that she'll get. So Corwe, you know, we sort of talked around it, is a journalist.
Yes.
She is,
yes.
You know, she works for the Rebellion, managing their sort of the Rebellion press corps, making holos to help both keep the image of the Rebellion good and truthful to what the Empire is releasing about them in terms of propaganda, but also get recruitment. And so that's why she finds herself here on Hoth. Maybe not the best idea she's ever had to come to Hoth. But you yourself are a journalist and have a background in this. So how much did your own experience as a journalist inform what you brought to Corwe as a character and what you brought to like the challenges or the things that she faces in the story? Because I would imagine it'd be impossible to separate those things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, certainly some of it is aspirational, right? Because I work as a reporter, but I work in entertainment, which I think has value. I think talking about the stories that we all love and just like poking holes in them and helping other people discover them in a new light has value, but it's different than creating propaganda for an organization that is trying to save the galaxy. But I really became interested in what is journalism in the Star Wars world from the moment when, before Star Wars Rebels premiered, as part of my reporting on that show and my work with, like, I'd reported on Clone Wars and things, I got a mailer and it had a pin that was the logo of the Imperial Press Corps. And previous to receiving that, I hadn't really thought a lot about the role of journalism in Star Wars. Like, I know there's the HoloNet and I know communication gets disseminated somehow, but I really started to think about it more when I got that pin. And what does that mean? What was it like before the Empire? And what does it mean once the Empire moved in and established this Imperial Press Corps? Because you know they're controlling as much of the public facing messages as they can, that if the Rebellion wants to get something out about themselves or something that's true, that the Empire is twisted, they really have to go underground to broadcast that message. So I was thinking about all of those things and also reading Alphabet Squadron, the first book at the same time by Alexander Freed, and you know, early on, well, somewhat early on, Erica Quell mentions, you know, seeing a recruitment holo of Mon Mothma, like before she joined the Empire, seeing a video about Mon Mothma's speech. And that kind of made me realize that propaganda and the rebellion is a thing. So as I kind of developed that idea, like I definitely kind of also wanted to write from a place that I was excited about, a field that I'm excited about, IRL, but also in Star Wars. And how could I, you know, not directly relate those things, but bring over the things that I know about reporting, which is being a witness to things, reporting on the facts, analyzing the story, putting together a package, especially like for propaganda. Like I kind of thought about it, you know, when I do a junket or when I'm writing and editing and working with someone who's doing an interview about an upcoming movie or TV series, you really try to frame it as, what is our end goal? What do we want to get out of this as a written piece or as a video piece? What points do we want to hit? I'm like, that's kind of what they're going to do with propaganda, because they have an end goal for a recruitment holo. So it's, who are they going to try to talk to? What kind of quotes are they going to attempt to get that they can edit together? So that's kind of how I found my way in. That was a bit of a ramble.
No, it makes perfect sense, because one of the things that I really appreciate about the arc of the story for Corwi is she reveals that she left the Imperial Press Corps quite because of some of the things you were talking about, and the idea of like the damage that story can do and the damage that narrative can do when it's twisted, when it's wielded as propaganda for the purposes of lies or pain. And but Corwi sort of at the end of the story is actually wielding narrative for an entirely different purpose, but it's the same equally ineffective purpose that like Luke wields his lightsaber, that Leia wields like setting up and managing the and leading the rebellion, that Han, you know, flying in on the Millennium Falcon to snarkily save the day. It's like, it's actually, she's wielding and showing both very much for herself in terms of realizing who she should be interviewing, the story she should be collecting, talking about the actual power of narrative for good. And it's this, and I think you got to that in sort of talking about relating to narrative, which some people might not even see on its face as all that valuable, like entertainment narrative and talking about entertainment. So no, it makes perfect sense. But you mentioned something that was like really intriguing, and you play it out with Corwi a little bit. And I'm interested to hear about it from both, as it pertains to Corwi, but yourself, which is, you know, she's ultimately, by the end of the story, reporting on a kind of tragedy. There's a battle and people are fleeing for their lives and survival at stake, at stake. And obviously she mentions in having reported about things as part of the Imperial Press Corps, a lot of which were tragic or became so. And doing so could really kind of make you either a cynic about it or make you so detached from it that it's like, the events aren't happening to me. I'm just like a basically disembodied spectator. I am the Will writing about Star Wars rather than someone else, to create a poor analogy. But at the end of the story and throughout it, Corwi like resists that idea. So like, how do you see her like balancing the idea of reporting on the events of being in the rebellion, but also herself being a part of it and believing in what the rebellion is fighting for?
Right. It's a tricky line, because there can be, when you're in those instances where you need to just write about some terrible things, where you put up walls so you can do that and protect yourself and continue to function. And like you said, that can make you detached. I think there's an important part of keeping emotion in what you're writing, even though as reporting, you're not supposed to always do that. You're supposed to try to be as objective as possible. But in this case with Corwi, like I found myself with some leeway as well, because, you know, she is making propaganda. So from step one, you know, like she's not here just to be like, and these are the facts, thank you, goodbye. There is that, of course. She wants to show the truth of the rebellion. I think she's very focused on, when she works with her artist and a propaganda artist, or just to craft these stories to get people to join them, she doesn't gloss it over and make it look like being in the rebellion is all like unicorns and rainbows, because you're fighting a war and there are harsh realities that come with that. Most, you know, importantly and sadly, you lose people. Your lives are going to be lost, probably lives of people you know, of beings you know. So I think with her, it was really trying to like balance that, like, I need to get my quotes from Luke, Leia, and Han. I need to make this story. Give me, you're in the middle of a battle. You just got attacked by a wampa, but can you talk? Like, so it was kind of balancing that kind of like bit of a personality, which can be a turnoff, with she's coming from a place of wanting to bring more people to the rebellion, because she knows that ultimately the rebellion is the Rebel Alliance is what the galaxy needs to defeat the Empire, and that the Empire is not doing a lot of good for anyone. And that's how I try to balance. So she's like, she's pushy and like, I don't want her to be super annoying, but also she's doing everything. She's coming from a place of, I want to do this to tell the story of the rebellion. I want more people to fight with us. The more people we have, the better chance we have to actually win this thing and send the Empire home, wherever, or to the unknown regions, as it turns out. But I think that's kind of where I tried to go with her, if that all made sense.
Yeah, no, it does. And it's really great. And as you said, kind of at the top, it's a great story that kind of sheds light on this like angle to the rebellion and to Star Wars as a whole that you kind of don't really think about. But you know what, if you're going to have a giant fleet that can actually take down the second Death Star in Return of the Jedi and ultimately win the war, well, all of those beings had to come from somewhere. And many of them came from places like, you know, like Luke or like Leia, or were inspired by, you know, things that happened on in their localities. But some of them answered a call, and somebody had to help put out that call.
Yes. And may I tell you one other thing about Corey? Like, in that regard, that something that inspired me is I play in a Star Wars RPG as, you know, regularly as possible. And I play a diplomat agitator who kind of, you know, she isn't a journalist. She isn't a propagandist, but she very much, whenever they go to planets, whenever our group is traveling and on various missions, tries to bring people into the rebellion. So it was really kind of fun to take, bring my fantasy like games books out and kind of like try to incorporate some of that feeling into Corey as well.
Well, it's great. And it is a really great story. And again, in all sorts of stories of soldiers and heroes and, you know, droids and other things, having someone of this perspective in the middle of this Hoth scene, just again, helped to further flesh out this idea of all of these people from all over the galaxy coming together on this icy little planet, trying to make a difference. And actually, you know, as we're recording this, the Star Wars Squadrons game just came out and I've been playing it, and not to spoil anything for anyone who hasn't played it, but early on in the game, there is this little interstitial video, which I don't know if you've seen it yet, Amy, that it's Leia doing some voiceover, and it is basically a recruitment holo for people to come join the, you know, Rebellion, come help them win the war. And I sat there playing, I'm like, you know what? Bet you Corwi had a hand in that.
I love that.
So that was fun to see. So I want to thank you so much for coming to hang out and chat with me and tell us about this story and about Corwi and your experience with Star Wars, and just for contributing and becoming a part of the Star Wars author family on the fiction side, since you're, you know, taking over the nonfiction side with all sorts of amazing contributions. So it's lovely to have you.
You're very kind. Thank you. I'm so thrilled to be part of this. It just is one of those surreal things, and it's been a nice, lovely shining light in recent times.
That's all we can hope and ask for in Star Wars. So thank you again to Amy, and thank you to everyone for listening. You can read Heroes of the Rebellion and all of the other stories in From a Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back, which is available right now from all of your favorite booksellers in print, ebook, and as an audio download. Thank you. May the Force be with you.